This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's your host, Will Doctor.
All right, Colonial coverage is live on ESPN Plus. Third round's underway. Nice to have you with us. I'm your host, Will Doctor, taking you through the latest in the world of pro golf here at the end of the Texas swing, where Colonial is absolutely delivering all the goods through 36 holes. Of course, you had some rain early in the week, but the fact the leader is only at 10 under with soft conditions and no wind in the early rounds shows that, once again, without a doubt, here in 2026, Colonial is the best stop around the Texas swing. We're going to get to some schedule changes that the tour released for 2027. Houston is in a very tough spot. We'll get to this later on, but next year, Houston comes after one of the most grueling three tournament stretches on the PGA Tour. You have the Cadillac Championship at Doral, then you have the Players, and then you have Bay Hill, and Houston is the fourth week of that stretch. So, we'll get to that and really take a look at what the field will actually be like here next year. Of course, Scheffler did not play Doral last year, but now that it's, around the prep time for the Players, Doral now, at the front of the Florida swing instead of the back, and Houston now in a spot right after the Players in Bay Hill. That's tough news. We'll get to that in the fourth segment. At Colonial today, you're going to see someone from far down the leaderboard in the 4 or 5 under range. You're going to see them make a move today. U.S. Open champion J.J. Spahn, he's 2 back. He said with how warm Friday was and how hot it's forecasted to be in Fort Worth this weekend, the morning tee times over the weekend will have a good chance to insert themselves in this golf tournament. Jordan Smith's your leader. He's at 10 under. And the cut line was only 8 shots behind him at 2 under. And Jackson Suber had to 3-putt his final hole yesterday to let an exciting bunch at 2 under into the weekend. Pearson Cootie, Sam Stevens, Brant Snedeker, all 2 unders who got into the weekend by way of Suber's 3-putt late yesterday afternoon. And tremendous action there across ESPN Plus and Golf Channel yesterday. Fantastic action when it comes to showing new PGA Tour CEO Brian Roelof that 36-hole cuts need to be back at every single event, including signatures. But looking at the top of this leaderboard, PGA Tour rookie Jordan Smith, he leads after back-to-back 65s. 1 shot behind Smith at 9 under is Michael Thorbjornsson, Ryan Gerard, Brian Harman, and Hideki Matsuyama. As I said, this leaderboard could change fast around this golf course, but your top 5 names in the lead or within 1 are very solid. Jordan Smith, rookie out of England, holding his first career 36-hole lead. He's 2-time DP World Tour winner. Michael Thorbjornsson, one of the better young players in the game. Ryan Gerard has played a lot of consistent golf over the last year, looking for his second win. And then Harman and Matsuyama are scary major-winning veterans. Jordan Smith, an interesting leader here through 36. He has made 10 of 15 cuts so far this season, and here he was on a phenomenal start. I believe Jordan Smith hit his first 24 of 28 fairways to begin the week at Colonial. He is he's either 8 for 9 or 9 for 9 around the greens. I think it's 8 for 9. I'm going to check, but here was Jordan Smith on a great start at Colonial.
Yeah, no, I'm obviously very, very happy. We're going into the weekend in a good position. The putter has been hot the last few days, which is nice to see. Swing still hasn't felt 100%, but I mean we've been hitting a lot of fairways and a lot of greens, which is key out here. We're just going to take the chances when we get them.
Yeah, Jordan Smith 8 for 9 in scrambling through 36 holes at Colonial. That is very impressive. These are tough greens to get up and down around. You have Bermuda grass around the greens, bent grass on the greens, and especially with it getting firm over the weekend, if you short side yourself around Colonial, it is some of the hardest up and downs around the PGA Tour's regular season. Jordan Smith, what a start he got off to yesterday. He was 4-under through 9, went eagle birdie to open yesterday, 3-3, was 300 through two. Here he was on what that start did for him as far as Friday is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to get off to a start like that. So, hit our drive straight down the middle of the fairway, hit a five wood, which I thought was going to come up short in the bunker, but just covered it, got a nice bounce, and then went down to about 6 foot, which always helps. Need those lucky breaks. So, nice way to start the day.
And, you know, one of the top names in a share of second, obviously the two marquee names at 9-under, Hideki Matsuyama and Brian Harman, and we're going to hear from Harman here in a little bit on what he likes about this golf course and how Colonial is more of a thinking man's golf course, that, you know, it's a classic design that doesn't put a whole lot of emphasis on driving distance. You have to place it around. You have to shape the ball both ways. You have to be a great chipper on Bermuda. And Brian Harman was very high on the fact that, look at Colonial. You don't need a whole bunch of land like Craig Ranch and Memorial, maybe even TPC San Antonio. It's interesting how, you know, Aronimink was one of these courses. Colonial is one of these courses, old school. And of course, ideally in North Texas, you would like the winds to be up and you would like to have a firm week. But with the rain earlier this week and last week in Dallas, I think Colonial has showed, plenty that even playing a little soft with how short this course is, it's still testing the best in the world. I mean, Jordan Smith pretty much played 2 days of perfect golf to get to 10 under with a one-shot lead. Now, Thorbjørnsen, very interesting name in this pack at 9-under in a tie for second. And interesting because, obviously, this is one of the top prodigies coming on the PGA Tour at 24 years old out of Stanford. Really had a solid start to the season when you look back to early February. Top 20 at Torrey Pines, tied third in Phoenix. Has logged three other top 25 since. It's just coming into this week, he's off back-to-back missed cuts. Missed the cut at Aronimink where he really felt like the irons were off. And then last week at the Byron, he opened 63 or 64. I'd have to check exactly what that number was, but he was near the top of the leaderboard after round one, and then shot 73 in the second round to miss the cut at Craig Ranch last week. And here were Thorbjørnsen's takeaways from such a stark difference between first and second rounds last week in Dallas and how he fixed that approaching this week at Colonial.
Obviously, that's a big slap in the face. I think I was in third place or fourth, whatever it was, going into Friday. And very poor approach play. I think I led the field last week in strokes gained off the tee. And it's almost unheard of missing the cut and leading that set. We saw really, really good stuff on that Thursday. And I think that's kind of all I'm focusing on. It was very clear to me why I played the way I did on Friday, and I mean, you're going to have bad days, but I missed an absurd amount of putts on that Friday, especially like a 5-footer on 16 and a 5-footer on 17 to get myself one shot within that cut line. But I mean, that's just golf, so it's a new week, and yeah, I'm just trying to carry some of that good mojo from last week.
I'll tell you the other interesting thing about Thorbjørnsen through 36 is when you look at his putting going into this week, he was off, let's see here, he was off five below average putting weeks in his last five starts. So not only was the iron play off, was also not having a lot of luck on the greens. He was very uncomfortable from the inside 8-foot range that he feels like is one of his strengths. It got away from him there for a bit. Here is what he has done to fix that.
Yeah, the whole new putter. Needed something different. I feel like, I mean, it's a new grip. It's a new kind of hosel, and it's a new face as well. So, I mean, it's the putter that I basically used in college. Feel like I have more feel just being a smaller grip. And I feel like that helps a lot just with pace and speed, especially on those 8-footers. I normally like to take pride in my ability to make those putts just with the proper pace and being able to see the line really well and kind of before I was kind of losing that a little bit, and now I mean these past couple of days I feel like I've made my fair share of those putts that kind of feel normal to me in a way.
So Thor Bjornsson will start the day one back. He is going off at 12:15 alongside Ryan Gerard. And when you look at how the card has done so far through 36 holes, you know, Max Graceman was really the premier pick here to start the week. He was the only winner I had on the card. And on his sixth week in a row, once Thursday came around, really just had a flat look. You know, did not necessarily hit his irons that well. I believe lost six shots to the field with his approach play through 36. So Graceman was slamming trunk yesterday. We added Justin Thomas and Ludvig Åberg to win here yesterday. And, you know, I got Ludvig at 12-1 after his second round. You could have gotten him at 23-1 and I believe 15-1 before he tees off today. And then snagged JT at 76-1 before his second round yesterday. You know, the thing with JT is I'm not seeing many other players hit the ball as good as him right now. If JT could just get a putt to fall, I mean, he shot 3-under yesterday. Had the putter been going, probably would have shot somewhere in the 6-7-under range. That said, at 4-under, you know, he's only 6 off the lead, and he's only 5 off that pack at 9-under in second place. Not to say, you know, Jordan Smith is not an accomplished worldwide player, 2 DP World Tour wins, but this is a new experience for him. I do not believe when it's all said and done that Jordan Smith is going to be your winner. And then the placements, you know, we have Ryu Hisasune to top 20. He is tied 15th going into the weekend. We have Mac Meisner to top 30. Not a local. He's obviously from San Antonio. He does have family in Fort Worth and a great crowd out there behind him. He's tied 11th going into the weekend. And then Andrew Novak also having a very commendable week. He is 6-under in a tie for 15th. We have him to top 30. But really, the three guys that we need to make a move today, Ludvig Åberg in a tie for 15th at 6-under, only 4 back. You have to think Ludvig is in the position he wants to be. It seems like every time he's at the top of the board through 36, he has a tough time putting the foot on the gas. I think with where he is right now and the names in front of him, Russell Henley, Hideki Matsuyama, Brian Harman, he is not going to have the luxury of just sitting back and waiting things to happen. He's going to have to go get it today. I like overall, except obviously Graceman's first 36 holes, I feel very good about where the card is. And Justin Thomas, I believe, has a 62 or 61 somewhere in that bag this week, whether it happens today or tomorrow. It is just a case of that putter getting warm. And you remember what happened 2 weeks ago after the PGA with JT. He was kind of on the outside of the conversation. Going into the final round, shoots a 65 and really posted early. Had it not been for Rye, a couple other guys going on a birdie run late, JT could have found himself in a playoff at the PGA. Here was his experience posting early on Sunday at Aronimink and having to wait around.
I got done and kind of was trying to figure out what to do. And my rental house is very close to the course, so I just went back with my family. My parents and aunt and uncle were in town, and we just went to the house and watched. I didn't really feel like, to be honest, sitting in the clubhouse and every person walking by and telling me what's going to happen or what do you think. And I just didn't want to have that conversation 45 times. So just kind of went back and waited and watched. And it was a lot. It was funny. I texted with a couple people. Like, the golf fan in me was enjoying, like, it was a really, really good tournament. But, I mean, I obviously was hoping people weren't making birdies. So it was kind of a strange place to be in. But it sure as hell beat, you know, being on the flight home and not having to watch or care.
You know, remember this with that's an interesting bite as far as, you know, not wanting to be bothered and not wanting to hear too many people say, you know, what's the situation and what needs to happen, who needs to bogey. He just went ahead and watched the rest of the coverage at the house. You know, something to remember with JT today, you know, with the cut being at 2 under yesterday, you know, JT had to get up and down three times in a row on 16, 17, and 18 yesterday. Phenomenal up and down on 16, a great sand save on 17, and then was just off the right side of the green on 18 yesterday and almost chipped in. You know, this is one of these tournaments. I know there's some top names, Hideki, Brian Harman, but you could see some Joe Highsmith last year at the Cognizant Action. You know, someone shooting 64-64 over the weekend if you draw two morning tee times. And JT down to 65-1. That has fluctuated. But I like him to make a move. I've really said since the start of the week, this guy, he has a low number in the bag. It's bound to happen, and what better day to do it than Saturday. And looking at the top, Jordan Smith, as we talked about, we heard from him in the first segment. He's your leader by one at 10 under, and a nice pack at 9 under and a tie for second. Michael Thorbjornsson, Ryan Gerard, Brian Harman, and Hideki. We will hear from Brian Harman and Ryan Gerard on the other side about the narrow corridors at Colonial and how they expect to navigate through them over the weekend. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. Back after this.
Mike Booker, chairman of the Texas Golf Hall of Fame and holder of a record number of Texas Golf Association championships.
The Texas Golf Hall of Fame is the foundation of golf in our great state. So many great individuals, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, Kathy Whitworth, Ben Crenshaw, and many others, lead the way in making golf in Texas known around the world. Now you can experience the history of Texas golf digitally at texasgolfhof.org and share with your family and friends. See you on the course.
This is ESPN 97.5.
This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
You know, I'm not sure how three-time PGA Tour winner, 2023 Open champion Brian Harman, how does he not have a top 10 so far this year? And you look at his last six events, I mean, he's been hitting the ball great. Been putting up to standard here over his last four. He just hasn't had the results, but he is in great form through two rounds at Colonial this week. One back at 9 under, and you look at his history here in Fort Worth. You know, three top tens over the years, and you know, really described this golf course is one that he can plot his way around and one that he doesn't have to overpower with, you know, his, you know, undersized distance at 39 years old and getting into his veteran years, can still play though. And really, as we saw in San Antonio last year, someone who can take the lead and at the Open when he won, this is someone who can take the lead and really not look back. Here was Harman on what he likes about Colonial.
You know, it's a thinking man's course. You've got to be really strategic off the tee. You can't just get up there and blast it wherever. Like, you know, it seems like a lot of places we play now kind of heading that way. And, you know, it doesn't usually take a super low score to win. You know, 3, 4, 5 under par feels like a really good round of golf here. And I don't know, it just kind of seems like the way that golf ought to be, in my opinion, in my naive opinion, I guess. But go out and play a good round of golf and shoot 3 under.
I could not agree more, and that's why I've been so obsessed with two of the last 3 weeks in professional golf. 2 weeks ago, we had another undersized driver of the golf ball in Aaron Rye plot his way around Aronimic and basically not lap the field, but basically passed very elite names like John Rahm and Ludvig Åberg, you know, Alex Smalley, who's been on a heater. Aaron Rye did that with elite iron play and great putting. By no means is he the longest driver out there. I mean, Aaron Rye is playing an 8-year-old driver off his back foot. You know, he doesn't even try to put himself in an optimal position to gain more distance. He just has a shot that can get in the fairway every time. And Harman feels the same way. He is not worried about being a shorter hitter out here, especially this week where you're on a placement golf course like Colonial. Here's Harman on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone would love to hit it further. I know I would, but yeah, I don't necessarily think it's in the cards for me. I'm 5'7", 160 pounds, and I've never really trained to hit it far. You know, in my era, we didn't really train for that as kids. You know, we were trying to get our short games better. I don't think anyone saw the distance thing coming back then. But, yeah, you just do your best. I mean, I am who I am. I play my game and try to lean on my strengths. And, you know, when the course is right and the conditions are right, I can be a real problem.
So Brian Harman, his third-round scoring average this year is 70.2. That puts him below tour average, ranked 96th in third-round scoring average. And then fourth-round scoring average, he's 154 on the PGA Tour this year, 71.91. So, you know, as aforementioned, we've seen the last two guys, the last two times he has won, he has taken a lead, not looked back, and not wavered on Sunday. This year, if you want the answer to why he statistically is playing amazing but not placing, his scoring over the weekend has just been awful, which is a shocker for how much of a veteran Brian Harman is. Here was him talking about this after Friday. Here was Harman on trying to figure out the recipe here on Saturdays and Sundays in 2026.
Yeah, it's been a really frustrating year, to be perfectly frank. You know, I've shot some really low scores, just haven't finished the golf tournament off, just haven't played a solid 72 holes, and hopefully it changes this week, but, you know, just got to do your best and kind of see what happens.
So, Harman, one of the players in that pack at 9-under, Ryan Gerard is another one. Very interesting, enticing name, opening 64, 67. He absolutely loves this golf course, and what a last 12 months for Ryan Gerard. Obviously won his first PGA Tour event last year at the Barracuda, but then got closer to the end of 2025 and was flirting with the top 50 in the official world golf rankings. So there was only one tournament left that he could go play at the end of last year to go and try to top five and better his official world golf rank and get himself into the Masters. He had to go do that at the Mauritius in Africa, and he pulled it off. Clutch time player, made a putting switch earlier this week, which has been the kryptonite to his game this year. I was shocked to hear that, you know, Ryan Gerard has not had a top 10 finish since the American Express at the end of January. And it's not to say, it's kind of like Harman. It's not to say Gerard has played horrible. He has had some issues on and around the greens, but he loves these plotter golf courses like Sedgefield and Harbortown. He sees the resemblance in those courses to Colonial. And here was Gerard, world number 37, on getting it around Colonial.
There's a very large penalty for missing off the tee out here. Whether that's behind a tree or thick rough that's unpredictable into a small green, I think that kind of separates itself. There's a bucket of these courses, Harbor Towns, Wyndham, places like Myrtle Beach, like places where if you get off the side of the fairway, it's not a very easy task to get it up and around the green. I had to chip out from 100-some yards twice yesterday just because I was in jail. So there's a premium on hitting it in the corridors and just sticking with the game plan, because if you start trying to press and maybe get too aggressive, bad things can happen, and then it's kind of a spiral from there. So it's a test of patience and just going out there and trying to execute.
I think Gerard's gotten through the toughest part of the week already for himself personally, because opening rounds have been the struggle for Ryan Gerard this year. He's above average in both third and fourth round scoring. And, you know, I was really interested to hear from him on, he was asked, I believe by Kevin Robbins of PGAtour.com, he was asked what shot you need around this golf course undisputedly, and really said it's something that is, there's quite a few holes at Colonial that require less than driver off the tee, where you have to step up and hit something in the fairway or you're going to be chipping out. Here was Gerard there.
Anytime you have to hit less than driver off the tee, there are
four or five holes out here that you have to hit less than driver off the tee, and there's a reason why, and the penalty for missing is more drastic on those holes. So 10, 17, 5, 3 sometimes, like anytime you have to club down off the tee, there's a specific reason. It's because the corridor's tight, the penalty for missing is that big, and if you kind of get just slightly off, I mean, you're in a world of hurt.
All right, so Gerard, I think he's at 12-1 entering the weekend. I think it's a golf course that sets up well for him, and he has been very commendable in third and fourth rounds this season. On the other side, we're going to hear from Akshay Bhatia, Bay Hill winner who has struggled a bit since his visit to the Hero India Open the week before the Masters, has had some trouble dialing in the driver, and we're going to hear from him about that on the other side. Guys, before we go to break, are you looking for a crisp, refreshing beer this weekend with real taste and no junk? Try 8 Elite Light Beer, the new light beer from Hall of Fame quarterback Troy Aikman. It's brewed with just water, malt, and hops, no additives, no sweeteners, and with only 90 calories and 2.6 carbs, it has a clean finish that you'll love. Right now, Woodrow's is pouring 8 on tap at Little Woodrow's Edo off San Emmanuel, perfect for game day, happy hour, or just kicking back with friends. Go grab one at Woodrow's or 8, whatever you're feeling. And if you're staying in, just go ahead and pick up a case at HEB or Brookshire Brothers and keep the good times going. 8 Elite Light Beer, lose the additives, keep the taste. Grab yours today.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Listening to the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
Okay, before we get back to Colonial, I want to talk about the 2027 PGA Tour schedule being reshuffled and how it applies to Houston. Because, you know, we're still 2 weeks before the Masters, the Texas Children's Houston Open. You know, we still have the premier run-in to Augusta for the elite player. You know, we've seen Scotty. He likes to come play Houston before the Masters. Rory is probably done coming to Houston, even though when he won the Masters the first time around, he had played Houston. But now, you know, I think before this last Masters, he took like 3 or 4 weeks off and was at Augusta half the time. So he has had basically two different prep strategies work for him over the last 2 years, and obviously that's why he is the greatest player at the moment of this decade. But how this 2027 schedule reveal applies to Houston and how we got screwed. The Cadillac Championship at the round moved to the beginning of March, away from later in the Florida swing where a lot of players could skip it. There's a lot of players that don't like Doral. Scotty wasn't there. But now it is the prep tournament before the players. So let me lay out the Florida swing before the tour gets to Houston here. February 25th to 28th, the Cognizant Classic in Palm Beach at PGA National. They're screwed. I mean, because they're basically before the big 3 week, the big 3 week run where you have the Cadillac Championship March 4th through the 7th. Then you go to TPC Sawgrass for the players March 11th through the 14th. And the third week in a row of that stretch is Bay Hill at Arnie's Place, March 18th through the 21st. The fourth week in a row of that stretch, 2 weeks before the Masters, after Doral, after these grueling tests, Doral, Sawgrass, Bay Hill, that is one of the toughest stretches on the PGA Tour. And the fourth week in a row there is the Houston Open. Now, you might be, it'd be very understandable if you're a listener who's kind of unaware of what these guys think of 4 weeks in a row, even 3 weeks in a row. There's a lot of data out there that says guys kind of lose steam in the engine on their third week in a row. A fourth week in a row, the elite top golfer cannot stand playing the four in a row. And JT, Justin Thomas, spoke on that this week.
Everybody's different. I would say the first and foremost, most important thing that a lot of the top guys, anybody that's in the majors, you're going to, at least I would think, is what's going to prepare me the best for the major. So, you know, like I've had success in majors when I play the week before, but playing San Antonio the week before the Masters for me doesn't feel like that's getting me prepared as much as possible for the Masters. Therefore, I don't play San Antonio. You know, I had a year where the PGA, when I was at Southern Hills, I wanted to play the week before at Byron Nelson. It's easy travel, and I played the week before. So, like, it's very situational when you play, don't play in that regard. But, I mean, I really, really, really try with all my might to not do four in a row. Four in a row is like I'm not fun to be around. It's very taxing, so I try to cap it at three. And yeah, there's a lot of great tournaments. We're very fortunate to have to miss some great events, but you know, you have to at some point. So it's just kind of start with the majors and then fill it in here and there, I guess.
I mean, Cadillac Players and Bay Hill, all three of them are signature events. I kind of had to double check on Doral because. I just wasn't sure if that was going to be a full-time signature event. And Doral took place in late April this year after the Masters and after the majority of the Florida swing. And Doral's the big winner here, even though no one likes the golf course. And I'm not sure how someone like Scottie Scheffler gets out of Doral next year. You're going to skip the same signature event 2 years in a row? I hope so, for the sake that he's in Houston. You know, 2 weeks before the Masters and we get a decent field, because, you know, you're just not going to get the top 20 player in the world going from signature event Doral, signature event Sawgrass, signature event Bay Hill, and then come play a regular season event in Houston. That is not going to happen. We have a lot to be worried about as far as the Houston Open field is concerned. Now, back to Colonial. You know, Akshay Bhatia is someone that I really want to discuss in today's show. 67-65. It's just been an interesting case for him after the win at Bay Hill. Because, you know, he signed the major deal with Hero that sees him playing 3 to 5 tournaments a year in India. So when you look at Akshay's start of the season, starting at the beginning of February, 3rd in Phoenix, 6th at Pebble, 16th at Riviera, win at Bay Hill, 13th at the Players. What a stretch that was. He then goes to the India Open two weeks after the Players, and in his final prep event before the Masters, he goes miscut in India, miscut at the Masters. That was wind out of the sails of Akshay Bhatia. He did follow that up with a couple top 25s at the signature events, really rolled it well at Harbortown where he finished 16th, rolled it again up to expectation at Doral. The putter really saved him around Doral, tied 23rd there. But since Doral at the beginning of May, he has gone tied 37th at Quail Hollow and then miscut at Aronimink. Unbelievable. Akshay Bhatia has missed the first two weekends of majors to start this season. He has really talked about, Ryan, we're just going to, as far as the order of this audio, I want to play right now Akshay and about him talking about his issues off the tee and him figuring out a better miss. Let's go ahead and run that. We'll get you that here in 1 second. As far as how Akshay has improved, when you look at his numbers heading into this week, he has been negative as far as the driving accuracy about 4 or 5 times in a row. And it's not like that has really improved a whole lot this week. 15 of 28 hitting fairways to begin the week for Akshay. He just feels like he's missing it in the right spots. Here was Akshay on getting better with the driving around a tight test in Colonial.
It's interesting. Like, I think I can go be at home and hit it on the range and hit it very solid, hit it, you know, hit the same shape. And then once I get on the golf course, I'm just struggling with, I don't know what it is. Cause I don't feel like I'm scared of anything. But subconsciously something's going on. And so again, I just got to keep doing my thing and, it'll happen. It's just going to take a lot of work.
Akshay Bhatia is the top five putter in the world who has managed to find their driving accuracy enough this week to put themselves in contention. I'd say the same thing about Hideki Matsuyama. Hideki's main kryptonite this year, and Hideki's one off the lead heading of the weekend, Hideki's main kryptonite this year has been the driver. He had an opportunity to win in Phoenix. I believe had the lead on the 72nd hole, and I think bogeyed 18, and then which put him in a playoff with Goddard, and then he snapped hooked a drive in the water left at TPC Scottsdale. So, but Hideki and Akshay, two of the best chippers and putters on the PGA Tour, and that is the part of their game that has led them to contention through 36. Here was Bhatia on what he really enjoys about Colonial.
You have to be creative a little bit. You know, you can hit some good tee balls that you're behind trees, or, you know, the pins can look very tight in corners. And I think just, you know, it's short, it's simple, and yet it always plays hard. You know, it's never 18, 19 under winning. It's 10, 11, 12 under. And that's what makes, you know, great golf courses, is it doesn't need to be this big property and fancy. It just needs to be good enough to where it makes you think a little bit.
All right, so on the other side, we're actually going to hear from Akshay on how the last couple months have been a pressure cooker from the standpoint of the President's Cup in October. I guess he's already thinking about that, and he said that Joe Greiner, Akshay played with USA President's captain Brant Snedeker the first two rounds, and after the second round, Akshay was like, Joe's kind of having to tell me, you know, Brant's not worried about golf this early, and Brant wants to see more how you react to situations. We saw Akshay get close to the Ryder Cup team at the end of 2024 and kind of limped his way into the finish line. When you look at 24 and how he performed, he had an outside chance to make the President's Cup. He had won the Valero Texas Open early in 2024, where we hit him at 70-1. And then he had a couple other top fives at Travelers and Rocket Mortgage. Looked primed to make that Ryder Cup team. And then basically ends the season, miscut at the Open, 64th at 3M, miscut at Sedgefield. That was a painful finish to the 2024 season for Akshay that saw him miss the Ryder Cup. He's not trying to do that again, and supposedly it's already on his mind, which, you know, I've talked about him going into India and how he kind of lost his driver after that. Maybe it's the pressure of making Team USA for Akshay that has caused him to struggle just a little bit here over his last four. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. Here's a quick word from our friends at the Spear Golf Association. Houston golf fans, one of the most prestigious amateur championships in the world is coming back to Texas. The 2026 Spear International Amateur Golf Championship takes place November 9th through the 14th, the number one ranked golf course in Texas in Whispering Pines Golf Club. The Spirit brings together the best amateur men and women from 20 countries in a 54-hole Olympic-style competition featuring both team and individual gold medals. And if you follow professional golf, you already know the legacy. Past Spirit competitors include Scottie Scheffler, Jordan Spieth, Victor Hovland, Brant Snedeker, Rose Zhang, Lexi Thompson, Lorena Ochoa. They all showed up at Whispering Pines before they became major champions and global stars. Opening ceremonies begin November 10th with rounds running through Thursday and into Saturday, with closing ceremonies taking place on the 14th. And it's bigger than golf. Hosted by the Spirit Golf Association, this championship supports critical charitable initiatives in healthcare, education, and food programs, with more than $13 million contributed to date. It's the 2026 Spirit, bringing the world's best young players to Texas and putting Houston at the center of global amateur golf. Learn more at www.thespiritgolf.org. Once again, that's www.thespiritgolf.org.
Mike Booker, Chairman of the Texas Golf Hall of Fame. and holder of a record number of Texas Golf Association championships.
The Texas Golf Hall of Fame is the foundation of golf in our great state. So many great individuals, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, Kathy Whitworth, Ben Crenshaw, Babe Zaharias, Tom Kite, and many more lead the way in making golf in Texas known around the world. Learn about the historic golf courses and the individuals that promoted the game through leadership, teaching, and passion. Texas and golf go hand in hand in the history of the game and camaraderie. Together we can honor the past, celebrate the present, and inspire future generations of Texas golfers. Golf is a sport for everyone, and I encourage you to experience the history of Texas golf digitally at TexasGolfHOF.org and share with your golf family and friends. That's TexasGolfHOF.org. See you on the course.
ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
Yeah, Joe kind of mentioned maybe he thought I was thinking about it, but he said Brant's not looking about how you're playing golf right now. It's more how you're handling certain things. And so I took that, you know, with me, and even subconsciously maybe I am thinking about it, playing with the President's Cup captain. I did it with Keegan, and I was pretty nervous. And so, yeah, you just keep learning about, you know, how you feel and what it means to you. And obviously to play in a team event, everyone really talks highly about it. And to be a part of those teams, you build bonds, and that's what I want to do.
Yeah, that was Akshay Bhatia on the potential of qualifying for his first professional national team. He went alongside Brant Snedeker the opening rounds at Colonial. Brant won again after, I believe, was it 8 or 9 years, won at Myrtle Beach a couple weeks ago. And he is the captain of the President's Cup team for the USA, you know, this coming year. Akshay, as we talked about, you know, coming out of the last segment, you know, there is apparently it's on his mind this early in the season to continue playing at least decent, making cuts and making sure he's got a spot on that team. Let's see. Akshay is 26th in the world right now, 10th in the FedEx Cup standings. But, you know, obviously there was a lot of questions. Him getting into contention this week, we talked about his driver issues, but also came into this week off 3 negative weeks in a row with the irons. If he gets the ball striking figured out, he's a top 5 putter in the world. So another win, that would be his, what would it be, his 4th? It's in the forecast. There's no doubt about it. Michael Thorbjornsson is looking for his first win and his 60th start on the PGA Tour. Starting the weekend, one back. And we talked about him earlier in the show, but this is a guy, another one. Nice start to the year. When you look back to February and March, the last month has not been so friendly coming into this week. 2 cuts in his last 3 starts. Here was Michael Thorbjornsson on getting into contention here in his 60th start on the PGA Tour.
Obviously very excited. Whether I'm in contention or just scrapping by to make a cut, it's always nice to play the weekend. Obviously I'm here to try my best to win, but that can't be the goal. Like, you have to focus on just playing good golf and focusing on how your game can improve week in, week out, year after year, season after season. So, I mean, I hope to be out here for a very long time and just hope to get better each and every day. And if I see that progress, then I'll be happy with kind of where my game is at and where I'm at in my career. But whether I win or lose this weekend, it doesn't really bother me too much.
You know, this is his first time playing Colonial as a professional. He did show up to this tournament last year, played 15 holes of a practice round, and then took his name out of the field due to the fact that he was on his 6th week in a row and he felt like his body was giving out. But he did play at this course in college, feels like it's a good fit for his game. If Mike can keep it on the planet off the tee. I think his name stays up there, at least in contention for the rest of the weekend. But obviously, my two picks, I'm still committing to my live ads yesterday. I think Ludvig Åberg, four back, is in phenomenal shape. He's exactly where he wants to be, about as due for a win as anyone on the planet. And I think you can still... I think you could see Justin Thomas post a 63 or 64 at some point over the next 2 days. What he does in the other round is what matters. A 64 today, followed by a closing round 67, could potentially get the job done for JT. Starting the weekend six back, currently at 65-1. So those are my two picks, Ludvig and JT. Let's go to the phone line, take a call. 713-780-3776 is the number. We got Tim on the line. Tim, what's going on?
Looks like we got a bunch leaderboard at the top in Austria. Right now,
the only couple names I recognize here, Andrew Beef Johnson, haven't seen him in a while. He's one back, and then let's see, Davis Bryant, an American, three back there in Austria. Jan Han Zhu is just the 16-year-old who keeps appearing at the top of the leaderboard out of China, two back right now, and then of course the vet and Rafa Cabrera Bello, three back. But yeah, what's your feel here? What have you been seeing so far there in Austria, Tim?
Nobody's talking about the most underrated golfer on the entire DP World Tour. That's the 23-year-old from Japan, Kota Kaneko. This is a guy that has two top tens in his last four starts. He actually played in the PGA Championship, missed the cut, but I won't hold that against him. He's a guy that actually played in the Bay Current last year, finished tied 33rd, and he's one shot back to the lead. He hasn't won before, but this could be his first opportunity to get a win.
You could get two Japanese winners on both sides of the pond. Hideki, if he can keep in the fairway here at Colonial, then he's definitely going to get a win. That's pretty much all it will take for Hideki, is just a nice next couple of days of a bunch of fairways hits. Kota Kaneko. You think he has the chops to win? He doesn't have a win on the PGA Tour, not a win on the Corn Ferry Tour. Let me see. Does he have a couple Japanese Tour wins? He does. He got a couple last year. So, Tim, you're high on this guy. I don't know much about Kota. I don't know much about him.
He finished tied second last week at Sedal.
Yeah.
So his last start, he finished tied second.
There to Richard Stern, he finished two back of Richard Stern. So interesting. Doesn't hit the ball that far. Seems to be in a good place with his irons and putting. You trust this guy in the big spot? I'm really not sure about that. What about Ricardo Gueva? Can this guy hang around him, or what's his story? Has he had a fairly good year so far there in Europe? Let's see, 44th on the DP World Tour stand. He's coming in here off three top 25s in a row. Finished second in Turkey, 13th in Spain, and then 24th in Sudol. And has a top 20 in Austria back in 2016. So let's see. What about Andrew Beef Johnson? What's he been up to? You know, this guy was all over the world of golf here about 2-3 years ago. He's got a couple top 25s in his last four starts. Can Andrew Johnson get his second career DP World Tour win? Is he in that kind of playing condition, Tim?
If he had asked me 3 weeks ago, I would say no. But after what he did last week and the first two rounds so far, three rounds so far, the Austrian, I think he has a good chance. He doesn't have to go into Sunday with the lead. He doesn't have to have that pressure of sleeping with the lead. So I think if he's one or two shots back heading into Sunday, that we could see a 65 from Beef Johnston, and he could be hoisting the trophy
okay.
here in Austria.
I like that take, Tim. 10 seconds. Is Kota your favorite player going into the weekend? Is that the case here? Kota Kaneko, One back through 11 and
Kota Kaneko.
Okay, Kota Kaneko. I'm going to hold off on betting anything, putting anything in the books. I'm going to wait till this third round comes to a finish. Tim, I know you might not be high on him, but man, Rafa Cabrera Bello, man, this is a vet. This is a Ryder Cup playing four-time DP World Tour winning vet who is very close to breaking through for his fifth DP World Tour win. It's been a little too back and forth for me to commit anything right now, but he's got a runner-up in Austria back in 2015. He's got a top 25 there last year. I like your take, Tim. Kota, Janhan, Zhu, you have a couple young a couple young players up there in the top five who are dangerous, and great call there, great contribution. And I hope everyone in the Fort Worth area enjoys the coverage of Colonial. And if you're elsewhere, enjoy it on Golf Channel and CBS. Thank you, Ryan Mara, behind the ones and twos. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. We'll see you next weekend.
ESPN 97.5.